All right, yeah. Siman Dalet Sifyat Gimel is on the last side of the photostats. Baruch Hashem, our dear friend Reb David is back. We're on the last side of the copies. I'm going to ask you to do the continuation. Sifyat Gimel is the most challenging area, the most difficult and painful area in halacha and all these halachas, because sometimes halacha forbids certain marriages. And sometimes it's difficult. People are not allowed to marry the person they want. The case of a mamzer is heartbreaking because a mamzer is also to everybody, pretty much, and it's through no fault of his or her own. A mamzer is a mamzer because of the sin of the parents, and it's an extremely difficult and painful situation. It's almost to say that a mamzer who stays from in an erlach yid is muchan olam haba, because the challenges of a child who grows up with mamzeris is it's very heartbreaking. So let's see what we can learn. Sifyat Gimel is a fairly simple sif. Ezehu mamzer. What is a mamzer? You're going to have those learning Daf Yomi and Yevamis. You'll get, I believe, to Daf Mem Tes. You'll have, there are three sheetahs in the Tanoim. The last side. Yeah. There are three sheetahs in the Rishayim regarding mamzeris. Rabbi Kiva actually holds Yesh Mamzer Mechai Ve'lavim, that it's relatively easy to become easy. It's frequent to become a mamzer. Zman Yom Yesh Mamzer Mechayve Misos, and we pass in Yesh Mamzer Mechayve Krisos. Now every Chayve Misos is also a Chayve Krisos, but the Chayve Krisos, anybody who is over on a Bia of Chayve Krisos creates a Mamzer. Since today there's no Taiva for Bia with immediate relatives, the common case of Mamzeris Rachman al-Atzlan is a case of an Eishas Ish. An Eishas Ish, this occurs for another man to be Baal an Eishas Ish. And that, those are the situations where sadly, Mamzeris comes up. Somebody who has a proper marriage and then doesn't get a get, and either marries someone else or becomes pregnant with someone else, and the child is a Mamzer. So, Ezel Mamzer, Zahabah, Mi'achis, Mi'chol Arayos, Bein b'chai v'misos, bein b'chai v'krisos. Chutz mehaba mehanida. Even though nida is a chi of krisos, afal pi shehu pogum, even though the son of a mamzer is considered, of a nida is considered a pogum, ain't a mamzer afilu midrabanan. There's no mamzeris on ba mehanida, which would include most Jews in the United States, or even if there's no mamzeris issue, there's a Nida issue. Now, I want to speak mostly about Mamzeris today, but let me, for a moment, talk about Pogum and Abam in Anida. And numerous tshuvas about marrying a Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva's parents did not practice Taras HaMishpacha, and no question you're allowed to marry such a person. The question is, what it means here, Afal Pi Shehu Pogum, even though he's considered a Pogum, which is a status that denotes some type of inferiority. Nevertheless, it's if you look in the Beis Shmuel Tezvav, he quotes the Ramah, Chasam B'darkei Mishnah, Hu Pogum, Ei Mishpachtei Miyuchis, V'roi L'harchik Mehem. Aval Ein Pogum M'kayach Iser. He uses the Lashon, Roi L'harchik Mehem. Aval Ein Pogum M'kayach Iser, K'sher Afil L'kuhuna. The question here is, what degree roi laharchik mehem? So there are a number of tshuvas in the yeshiva world, as opposed to the chassidish world, but in the yeshiva world there are a number of tshuvas that talk about this issue, including the Stipler and Reb Moshe and others, and all whom say that there's no din pogum bizman hazeh. Reb Moshe writes something that's almost totally not his style. He says, a pogum, what does it mean, pogum? It means somebody has a chsar in the midas. He's a pogum. It implies chsar in the midas. He says, if you see this person has midas taivais, So it's not a problem. And then he writes, and who knows, probably the month his mother gave birth, she went swimming in the ocean, and so she was tar, at least when I tell her, from the need. And that's where Moshe writes. The month she conceived. That's problematic, because we pass it at Hefzik Tara's Daraisa. It's a little hard to understand how it would help. If she was never a Zava, it would help, but she was just a Nida. But anyway, Ramosha writes this. The Stipler writes a much stronger argument, printed in the Krayna D'Igrisa. He says that we're 100 Dairis into Klal Yisrael. Everybody has a pogrom somewhere along the line. He says everyone comes to Bala Tshuva somewhere along the line. Now, of course, the Chassidish Rebbes are not included in this, who claim to come from David HaMelech, and in the Chassidish circles, they're much more hesitant to do this. I once had an incident where we had a Bala Tshuva who was coming to our house. It was a Kayan. We knew him. Interesting, his name was John Wayne. Jonathan Wayne, but everyone called him John Wayne. And my wife had a cousin, and they were they had similarities. They were both nature lovers and vegans, and this goes up to about 20 years ago. And my wife said she has a cousin, a Hasidic family who broke with the Hasidic tradition, who was not Hasidic at all, and she read the Shidduch. And what do you know? They go out a few times, and they're in love. They're going to get married. And then her parents come back from Eretz Yisrael. The girl, I think she was about 30, and they come back from Eretz Yisrael, and they hear about Tshuva. So they call me if I can come talk to them. So I was scared stiff. I didn't know what to do. So I spoke to somebody. He said, tell them that even the Chafetz Chaim took about Tshuva for a son-in-law. What's so terrible? So I went, and the father said to me, that's what he called them, chazafressers. So Baruch Hashem, he went to the chasna, and he has nachas from them. But I was taught that in the Chassidish world, it's much more objectionable to marry Bala Tshuva. In the yeshiva world, I care. People take pride in people who are really from, who really choose to be from. What? It's a loss of love. Like people cannot say about it. Yeah, okay. And call it what?
Is the son of
a
pogrom?
The stipler seems to assume so, because he's saying everyone has it somewhere in the lineage. So we're all in the same boat. So there is a difference in attitude. But okay, the stipler's letter is pretty strong.
One side comes from Arayis Mamid, and the other side is
Nus. He says Mashiach himself comes from a Shidduch that people would be interested in, right? Okay. All right, be that as it may, this is the secondary topic of the Sif, the Dinam of a Pogrom. And like I said, the Chafetz Chaim himself took a Baal Tshuva for a son-in-law, and etzleinu, it's not an issue. The more important issue is the issue of Mamzerus. And there are a number of contemporary topics in Mamzerus, and of course there are Ptarfinetza to be Mitar Mamzerus. I'd like to try to go through some of the issues. I should mention, in Yerodeya, in Hilchis Brismila, in Reis Samachay, Sifdalid, the Ramah brings that at the bris of a mamzer, they should announce he's a mamzer. That's what he says. To be mafarsim adavar, that he's also bekal. Now, I've never been in such a bris. And it's very difficult to imagine such an announcement. But, as I say, that's as I state in the meaning of the Ramah, to announce it and to let people know that there's a mamzeris. Sadly, there are cases of Mamzeris, and I was involved in one, and it's heartbreaking, a very heartbreaking situation.
Sign on him?
What?
A little sign on him?
they used to put a little necklace on a child that was a mamzer, but it's hard to believe today they would keep on wearing it. It's not something that people want to advertise. And look, if a person is not a chiyin in the loyal lane, he has mamzeris, he just won't marry who's not allowed to marry, we hope. It's a very, the whole thing is a very very sad and very challenging, and there are tshuvas that are very harsh on the idea of mamzeris, and even hard to repeat them. But there's a tshuva of Shlomo Klugel who questions whether Machal Shabbos to save the life of a mamzer. Very hard to understand. He talks on a technical basis, but a mamzer could be a ben ayla ma'boiz. Mechuyev is a yid, mechuyev in all the mitzvahs. Okay, I'd like to talk about the two or three very controversial issues of the 20th century, two of which are better known and one of which is not well known, controversial issues in which Ramesha played a major part. The passing of Chaya Kanievsky leaves Eretz Yisrael without one clear Das Torah. In America, with the passing of Ramesha, that it happened here in the United States, that there's no one clear Das Torah. There was a time when we grew up, and there was a tumult, and the question was, Vos Dr. Ramesha? That was the tumult. The answer to all the different tumults that had come up in different time periods. The major discussions, the earliest, is Ramesha's dispute with Rav Henkin regarding someone who has a civil marriage and does not have a religious marriage, whether a civil marriage, a reform, a conservative marriage, but somebody who has a kedushin that's not a kedushin al pi halacha. Rav Henkin held very strongly, and it was almost his personal milchama, that a woman who has a civil marriage, certainly a reform, a conservative marriage, and it's not a kedushin al pi halacha, but then the husband and wife go together and live in an apartment and hang up a sign, Mr. and Mrs. such and such, that they're considered to be married. Now, what is that based on? It's based on, first of all, the assumption that there's intimacy. Everybody knows when they live as husband and wife, there's intimacy. Now, what's a nafkamina? Kedushin without Adam is not a kedushin. What? There's a Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah in Gittin says that a man gives his wife a divorce, and later the husband and wife are miyached. They stay together overnight in an apartment that she needs a new get. What? Even if he gave the get. Even after Gerishin, before Gerishin, you're right, it's also... But after Gerishin, if they're miyachid together, that they need a get. Now, there are no Edom. The answer is that they only need to be Edom that they live together. It's an ansadi that there's a bia. And since they not done ice a bia, so bia's nus, we assume that the bia is l'shem Gerishin, l'shem Kiddushin. And therefore, she has an Eishas Ish. I say l'shem Kiddushin doesn't mean they know Kiddushin, Hilchas Kiddushin. Just means l'shem marriage, that they want to be miyuchid, they want to be husband and wife. Tosfos says the word kiddushin means you're miyuchedes li, to the exclusion of living with other men. And that's the assumption that has the desire in a marriage. And therefore, Rav Henkin held that they need a get. Not only that, Rav Henkin says, it could be anyway, there's a dim pilegesh, with a dim pilegesh maybe also needs a get. Whatever is a get by a pilegesh, but as long as you don't do it, the child would be a mamzer.
So why do they need marriage if they're together in the same apartment? That should be enough.
Rav Henkin's argument is what they mean is what halacha calls marriage. Not that they're thinking halacha, but that their intention to be miyuchedes one to the other, faithful to each other. That's marriage. That's Rav Henkin's. That's Rav Henkin's position. Even without a civil ceremony, as long as they call themselves Mr. and Mrs.
She does be with somebody else.
Is it a chorus? Yeah, according to Rav Henkin, it's a chorus, and Charles a mamzer. If she, that's Rav Hekid Shita. It was what? So it's an Asadi. If you didn't, if there are no Jews in the whole town, if they're living somewhere in Biafra, does Biafra still exist? In the Uganda, there are no Jews. Nobody knows. Rav Hekid would be masking. He means Jews know there are two Yidden that know that they're living as husband and wife, and that itself is constitutes.
But how far does an outside go? He's asking. If we in New York know that Biafra, they're living there, there's no Yidden there.
So I don't know. I don't think he goes into that. It could be he does. He wrote so much on the topic, but I don't think he goes into how far it goes. He says as long as people know that they're living as husband and wife.
So.
What you're saying is very important. I've had many times people come to me and they say, no, I have a relative who's getting married and it's reform. Nobody's going to be, is it going to be a kedushin? I said, well, if there are no edim, there are no kedushin. So they tell me, oh, so I'll make sure there are kosher edim. This should be a good kedushin. I say, no, make sure there are no kosher edim. Because you can make sure there are kosher edim. If they're not doing a kedushin, they're not going to do a get. So really, the effort should be made to avoid the Rav Henkin argument, the effort should be put in that the dafka should not be kosher edim there. Now, according to Rav Henkin, that doesn't help. According to Rav Henkin, as long as they live together as husband and wife, they're eishes ish. And according to Rav Henkin, there are many memzerim in Klal Yisrael. And Rav Henkin was very strong about it, that we're told that Rav Henkin, when he suffered from dementia at the end of his life, anybody who came in, he would say, Zidar Faget. And the second thing I think he would say is that Gal Yisrael, that Gal Yisrael, you have to say out loud. Was that the second?
Eating before
Shofar Blah. Oh, eating before Shofar Blah. Okay, there was another thing he said, that you shouldn't eat, you should not eat before Shofar Blah. So you tell everyone who came in, Zidar Faget, and you shouldn't eat before you blow the shofar. From his time, he meant only a Rosh Hashanah. But that's what he said. Another thing was about Gal Yisrael. He held that Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael, the Chazan has to say out loud. He left in his tzavah that at his levaya they should announce it. They should announce that when the Chazan says Gal Yisrael, he shouldn't say the two words low, he should say them loud. Baruch Hashem, the Chazan is supposed to be mitzi, anybody, not that we have anybody that needs to be mitzi, but the position of Chazan is to be mitzi people. He said to announce it at his levaya.
They also announced that when you get an aliyah, you shouldn't kiss where the ksav is by the secretary.
Because you end up erasing it. Another thing of Rav Henkin, you get an aliyah, you shouldn't rub the sefer Torah with the gartel. You end up erasing letters. Just it's enough to touch the rolled up section and kiss it that way.
So,
what?
Not to kiss with your mouth.
But I don't know if they announced that. But yeah, he writes that as well. Okay. At any rate. So it's true that Rav Henkin, when they're not faithful to each other, they have no illusions of being faithful, would probably hold differently. But you have to know that I don't think most Goyim get into marriage that way. Maybe a lot of teenagers, but I don't think, you know the secular world.
You heard an article 4 weeks ago,
yeah,
that people are cohabiting together without any thought of marriage. The minute they get married, the divorce rate's from the sky. But
when the average person gets married in the secular world, they don't expect to be faithful to each other.
No, but they're living together. They're living together without marriage.
Living together without marriage. Okay. So I think Rav Henkin is masking. Rav Henkin says when they call each other husband and wife, that's what he's talking about. I think so. What? Okay. And anyway, this was Rav Henkin's shita. Rav Moshe, in numerous tshuvas, disagreed very, very strongly. Rav Moshe is maskim lechatzila. We should be yaitzei kol hashitas. We should try to get them to do a get to avoid disputes. And he says to even pay money to try to get them to do a get. But if they don't do a get, Rav Moshe holds that they're not. It's not an issue if they're not interested enough in having a kedushin when they get married. So why should we say ein adam ma'aseh bi'yaseh bi'aznos? That it means the bia l'shem kedushin. I think Rav Moshe writes that when they do reform and conservative ceremonies, if I care it, in their mind they are married by Jewish law. So why would I say that they do a bia l'shem kedushin if if in their mind they're married, it's one thing if they didn't go through the formal marriage process. Or maybe you could say that they want. But if they went through what's in their mind, a formal marriage process, then it should not be that way. The raya to the Torah Moshe Shita is the fact that in Shulchan Aruch there are numerous cases where kiddushin are bottled. When somebody was mekadosh an isha, and for one reason or other, it wasn't worth Rishava Pruta, or the Eidim of Psulim, whatever the cases may be. The Shulchan Aruch talks about numerous cases where the Kedushin are bottled. In all those cases, we're talking about people get married and mean to be married, they're from Ian, and they go home and live as husband and wife. And there are all the different cases where there are questions. There are a few straight Mishnayis that call Devarim Elu Ba. It talks about Safi Kedushin, all the ramifications. Why don't we say when they went home and they lived together, the husband and wife? So this seems to indicate not like Rav Henke.
How do we know by the one marriage that there was no kiddush
there? You don't know. So only if you do know. If you don't know, you don't.
I think it could be very likely there is, but then it would be.
If you don't find out, then you're right. There are usually very few people standing and viewing the kiddushin. You go get pictures, they have a film of the chuppah, and you see if there are any from Yidden there. So that was the first controversy, and that goes back to the 1950s, probably earlier than that. Rav Henkin wrote already in the 1920s about it. Rav Henkin came to the United States in 1922, I believe, and he was about 30 years old, and he immediately took on himself the mantle of Psak Halacha in a country that didn't have big paiskim that were known. And this is one of his earliest arguments that it needs, and that I think in that particular machlaik is the overwhelming majority of paiskim follow Rav Moshe, with very few exceptions. They accept Rav Moshe's psak. That was the first great controversy. The second great controversy came with IVF. Came with Ramesh's numerous truvis on IVF, which means that when you have a woman who's married to a man who can't who doesn't have zera so she could conceive, we're not talking about the husband's zera. When the husband's zera is injected in the office into the wife, there's no issue. There's no issue of mamzeris. The father and mother are married to each other. There are other issues where there are some who are against the practice. For the most part, the Kabbalah is to accept it. There are two common procedures. IUI is where the husband's zera is injected into the woman. It's actually squirted up into the woman. A man who has a low sperm count by injecting it in the proper angle, or whatever it is exactly they do, they make it more likely that the woman will conceive in a natural way. It's the zera, just as coming in derech bia, it comes in through what they call IUI, which is a just placing it in. There are very few halachic issues. There are paiskim, including Rav Yashiv, who holds that a baby conceived that way, the bris milah is not teicha Shabbos, whatever technical reason. It considers it a shleik kederech bia type of thing. But besides that, there are no real issues. Then there's IVF. IVF is where the zera and the egg are both taken from the woman. A man giving zera is simple, because a man who gives zera, a teaspoon of zera has, I think it's 80 million sperm in a teaspoon. Sperm of a man are many. A woman who ovulates, generally ovulates one or two eggs a month, so to do a retrieval, they generally give her hormone treatment beforehand, so that on the given month she would ovulate numerous eggs. And then they do a retrieval to take the eggs out of the woman. And there they do the fertilization in vitro. They do the fertilization in the lab, what they call test tubes. actually on a Petri dish, they put the zera, they put the ovum, and how in the world they do this, I don't know, but they get the baby to be conceived in the dish, and then the baby that's already it's already a fertilized ovum is implanted into the uterus of the woman. How long it takes till they implant? I don't know how long, but was that?
Yeah, it divides a couple times.
Divides a few times, okay. And they implant it, generally they implant numerous because they don't know it'll take, and it ends up very often with multiple births. But here again, if it's the husband's zera and the wife's egg, there is no issue of mamzerus or pogum. There are no issues. There are issues about having hashgacha, and Eretz Yisrael, the makbid to have a hashgacha, that it's the husband's zera. In the United States, the poskim in the United States, for the most part, don't. There's only one hospital in the United States that even allows for hashgacha. The last I checked, one place in Manhattan, and for the most part, there's a mirtis because you can check the DNA of the baby and confirm that it's the father. There's a mirtis, and there is a mirtis, and they're very careful because they mix. They mix. If you get the wrong sperm, you can end up, God forbid, with a black baby or somebody who's clearly not from the father. And there is a tremendous mirtis. So for the most part, things are done in the United States without hashgacha. One of the complaints about the hashgacha is it's very hard to give hashgacha. It's not like hashgacha on a butcher store. You go in and you see the hechsher on the meat. Here, the zera is beyond microscopic, and it requires a certain amount of trusting of the doctors anyway. So for the most part, that's not the issue. The issue is
the kids would have to use his own.
The what case? But that was many years ago for the DNA, for hundreds of times. Yeah. He had very good success, right? But the issue is when it's a donor sperm. When it's a different man's sperm, when the husband is not able, the chassar isn't the husband, he doesn't have sperm that could conceive, and they use donor sperm, the question is what the status of a baby in such a situation is. So, well, the first question is mamzerus. That's really the issue. Here you have a married woman who's carrying a baby from a different man. It's not her husband, it's a different man. And she's carrying a child who's, when she became pregnant from someone else. So it could be a Jew, it could be a Bav, to talk about both. Ramesh in his numerous chuvas, Chelak Aleph, every Chelak of Evan Ezra, Ramesh has chuvas about it. Ramesh says it's not possible to be a mamzer unless there's a Bia Sisser. Without a Bia of Isser, there's no chiv krisus if there's no maisabia. And Ramesha holds that the child is not a mamzer, and he bases it on the Ben Sira case, which rather we had in the very beginning of Simen Aleph, in Beis Shmuel Yud. The Shulchan Aruch did not bring it. In Beis Shmuel Yud, he did bring the case of Ben Sira. Ben Sira was the child of Yirmiyah, who was the Sabra Bambati. The Beis Shmuel and Yud brought it, the Bach brings it. The Bach brings it to say that if someone becomes pregnant outside of Bia, that the child is not a mamzer. So it's not Ramesh's sheet as much as the Bach. I'll explain how the others who argue disagree. The Bach says, in Sima Kuf Tzadikei, in Hilchas Nida, is a Bach. He says if Zera is left by a man on a sheet and a woman sleeps on the sheet in a way that somehow the Zera works its way into her body, whether it could happen, it can't happen, is not the point. If it happened, the Bach says the child is not a mamzer. Because there was no Bia Sisser, the child is not a mamzer. And Ramesha writes that it's a Bach, it's not me, it's the Bach. And Ramesha holds that way very strongly, Al Pisvara, that without a Bia Sisser, a child cannot be a mamzer.
Why did that make its way in the Siman of Harchakos?
The harchaka is there that a person should not sleep on someone else's sheet, so it talks about whether a nida could sleep on the sheets of her husband if there's error of her husband. The aliyah problems will resolve. If she's not a mamzer, we can work with everything else. That's all good questions, but they're not as major as the question of her being a mamzer. The Satmar Rebbe, Satmar broke with Reb Moshe over this. The big dispute between the Satmar Rebbe and Reb Moshe was over this. Before this, there was tremendous, there was always tremendous mutual respect, but the Satmar Rebbe went to town on this. He disagreed very, very strongly. I was in Kiryas Yoel, they have a beautiful Beis Medrash with every sefer. I asked them, why don't have Reb Moshe sefer? They have all the misnagdim they have, you know, Reb Chanan they have, and Reb Shimishkop they have, and Reb Tolly Trop. Yes, why don't they have the Reb Moshe? He said, because of his tshuva on the IVF. That's the reason they don't have it.
What do they do
with the Bach then? So I'll explain the lumdus of it. I just want to tell you how far it went. Reb Moshe stopped publishing his tshuvas. It became so political. He published, if you really want to see the lumdus, he published his later tshuvas in the Dibris Moshe. He has a volume that's Ksuvas Nedarim. So between Ksuvas and Nedarim, who's going to look there? Only somebody who's really into learning. So there he published his comprehensive tshuvas response to the Satmar Rebbe. He doesn't quote the Satmar Rebbe by name. He writes it to Rav Breisch from Switzerland, who himself was a Satmar Chassid. And he addresses him, and he says, Masha Toanu. And he goes, the whole tshuva. Not only that, the index, Reb Moshe, he always indexes the tshuva. Here he breaks it down to this taina, that taina, the next taina. He goes through all the tainas they have against him, and in the three letters he tries to resolve it. Let me start with the Satmar Rebbe's taina. Satmar Rebbe taina that by Eisha Sish, the Torah uses a different lashon. It says, El Eisha Samisecha Leisitin Shechavtecha Lezera Letamaba. Doesn't say don't be boil in Eishes Ish. It says Leisitin Shechavtecha Lezera. It talks about Zera of the husband, of the non-husband and a wife. And the Ramban in his period Shan Chumash writes the Torah is telling you that the kpeid of being mizamer in Eishes Ish is tied to the fact that you can have children who don't know the ichus. So the Satmar Rebbe says you see that the. That the Issa Shasish is different than the other Isurim, even if you're not Mizana. The site of the Isur is Shechavtecha Lezera, having somebody else's Zera. And therefore it doesn't apply. What? I'm telling you what he says. This is what he says. The site of the Issur. Now he says, what about Ben Sira? So there are two Tainas. One Taina is that we don't pass it from Agadita. Agadita's story is Ben Sira, which he quotes from the Darkei Tshuva, who brings a Sefer Bar Livoi, I don't know who it is, that says that you can't pass it from Agadita's. So Reb Moshe answers, I'm not passing from Agadita's. I'm passing from the Bach, the Taz, and the Beis Shmuel, who bring it. They bring Ben Sira, La Halacha. That's Reb Moshe's time. The Satmar Rebbe time is the following. He says, even the story of Ben Sira, there was no deliberate act of putting another man's zera into the woman. There was no leisita and shchavta lezera. There was no deliberate act of implanting someone else's zera in the woman. The woman, whether she slept on a sheet or she went into a bathtub that had zera, the zera worked its way into the woman. There was no, not only there was no maisis nus, there was no mice of sita and zera. There was no mice at all. So there is no mamzeris, but otherwise, there would be mamzeris. Yeah, he says leisitin shchatul zera is any placing of zera ish other than the husband creates mamzeris.
You know that's only a
lot. Well, he says that's an explanation. The way the Ramban is saying it's an explanation of the parsha of mamzeris. That's what he says.
But they both now, the inverse of each other. They're really the inverse, right? The Moshe says that even if it's not a normal way, but it's through IUI, through its IVF, yeah. IVF, then it is fine. But Satmar Rebbe says it's
it's anywhere.
Yeah. The Sama Rebbe says it makes Mamzeris. Ramesh says it doesn't make Mamzeris. Ramesh always asked to be a B.S.S. Ramesh's pushback on the Ramban is, first of all, he says, don't paskin halachis from it. The Isser to be boiling Eshes Ish is even a woman who's beyond childbearing years. You can't say this Eshes Ish is because the Zera are not going to be recognizable. It's even also the same as Eshes Ish applies to a Zekena or an Elanis. It has nothing to do with Zera. The Ramban is saying in Tamei HaMitzvah, but we don't make halachis from Tamei HaMitzvah. And secondly, Ramesh says that's not the Parsha Mamzeris at all. That's the Parsha of Isurim. The Parsha Mamzeris is not there, and Ramesh rejects it and sticks with his underlying argument that there is no Mamzeris. Then there are secondary arguments. Now, besides this argument, I should mention in Mincha Shloima, Rav Shloima Zalman Orbach, Chelek Gimel, Tshuva Tzadik Ches, is the first Tshuva in Chelek Gimel. He's mefakfek on Rav Moshe. He alone among the Litvisher Rishu Yeshiva takes issue, based mainly on a Tosis in Yevamis Tezayin. Where's Daf Yomi up to today? Somewhere there. Chafaredi. Okay, so it's taking another 7 years to get there. But Yevamis Tezayin, it's interesting, Tosis says, there's a man Yom in the Gemara that Eved and Akum Abol Eshes Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. The man Yom in the Gemara that a guy who's Baal an Eshes Yisrael, the child's a Mamzer. We don't pass it that way. It's a man Yom, he's a Mamzer. So, what? Okay, a week and a half you'll make it. At any rate, it takes on Tesano and days to get to it. And Tesis says, what do you mean? We learned the other week that according to Tesis Shita, there's no Aveira in being by a Lagai. Tesis Shita was, Leisis Chatein Vom is only the Sheva Aminim. That there's no Deraisa. Tesis says, there's no Issa to be by a. How could the child be a Mamzer? Tesis says, one thing has nothing to do with the other. The Assis has nothing to do with Mamzeris. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's not like what Ramesh is arguing. Ramesh is arguing that without a B'Assisser you can't have Mamzeris. Tosis there says you can have a case without a B'Assisser where you have Mamzeris. So that argument notwithstanding, Shlomo Zalman himself is not certain that we paskin based on a Tosis. But these are the issues. Rabbi Avadia Yosef in the 8th volume of B'Aimer writes that the Ikur is like Rav Moshe, and he quotes Rabbi Yoshev and Rabbi Sal Zolti, who are with him. He said there are three of them were in a bez in Yerushalayim when the Shaila the first time it came up, and they all three agreed that the child is not a mamzer, and I think that's basically the accepted psak. Now, it's a fascinating topic because there are probably 10 or 20 side issues that come up. Let me give you one example. Listen to this one. Let's say you go with Ramesh. So a woman now becomes pregnant with the zera of a different man. So the Satmar Rebbe said, so she has to separate from her husband. Muberes chaveiroi. Somebody who's muberes from one man is not allowed to live with another man. So here you have a woman that's married for 10 years, they have children. IVF, she should be Aveira, it's Muberes Chaveira. Like that. Now, if someone's pregnant for one person, now let her now with another person. What? No, Muberes Chaveira, yeah, she got a get her, she's Almana. She's not allowed to marry anybody else for 3 months.
Right.
Because they know it's not the first husband. That's Ramesha writes. There are two things. You mean There are two things. Rabbi Tain is Muberes Chaveira, which is this is the Rabbanan. And really what you're saying is the idea you need 3 months of Havchana. That's only 90 days. Muberes Chaveira is the whole 9 months. And Demi Nekes Chaveira is another 18 to 24 months. No, you're aware. You're fully aware. A woman is pregnant. She gets divorced. So she's now marrying another man during the pregnancy.
No, I'm not aware that his sperm is used in order to impregnate.
So what? Was that?
But the point of the argument is that you're nursing my child with
desperate. Ramesha answers Kedarka with all. He says that the Avni Meluim and the Chida are both right. Muberes Chaveirai is that she's not allowed to get married. If she's already married, Layalena, someone rapes her and she's pregnant for someone else, he says, Davni Malum says she's not also her husband. Muberes Chaveirai is Issa D'Rabbanan that she shouldn't get married. But they didn't take a woman away from her husband because of Muberes Chaveirai. It's an answer. That's the answer. And then he.
What they do today in Boyan Oinon, in these places? What they do?
I'll tell you in a second. And the second Taina of Havchana, Ramesha writes, if medically the doctors say that it's not. It would be shloike derech hateva for the husband to impregnate his woman, which is with his wife, which is normally the case in these situations. So Ramesh says we go based on the doctors, and you don't need afchana to a man who can't make his wife pregnant. The Samar Rebbe writes that the doctors have been wrong many times, especially on this particular topic. And okay, one way or the other. Whether it's the Chachi Avchana or Muberes, he's talking about an Issa D'Rabbanan, which doesn't have the same severity as the Issa Mamzeres. What Bnei Olam does is if anybody wants to go through a process that's on their, I don't want to call it blacklist, on their red list, they have to tell them who the Rav is going to be that's guiding them. And if the Rav that's guiding them, they contact the Rav and they make sure that it's okay. And then I don't know how you pass their standard for who's a Rav, but they've called me on numerous occasions. What?
They use anybody's sperm or
they attack
the husband?
Oh, so let me explain. One more Nakuda. Another Nakuda here is that this whole discussion is only when it's sperm of a Yid. When it's a sperm of a non-Jew taken from a sperm bank, then the issue of Memzeris doesn't apply, because even Derech Bia, there's no Memzeris. Now, well, when I mentioned in the past that when somebody uses donated sperm, there's a questionnaire. These are private companies that provide sperm. There are probably two or three in the country. And there's a questionnaire. It's the strangest thing. It's like when you order from Pomegranate, you order a meal, you check off what you want, right? It's the strangest thing. I've seen the questionnaires. They're three or four page questionnaires. It says what color eyes, what color hair, what color skin, background. All the information is there. They don't guarantee the child will have that color. But that the donor sperm is someone with black eyes, with brown eyes, with black skin, with white skin, with European background, Asian background. It's a long checklist because it's important to people that the child that's born should at least be the same race as the parents.
So
Bnei Olam does not encourage donor sperm. They will allow donor sperm and donor eggs if the person has a rav that they accept that's guiding them through the process, takes achrayus. So then they allow it. That's their policy. And
supposedly the husband's supposed to be the husband's case.
It could be donor sperm and it could be donor eggs. They're both they're women who don't ovulate but have a good uterus. They have a healthy uterus. But don't ovulate for a reason or another.
Right.
So what they like to do is get donor ovum.
Even the guy.
Wherever they get it, and then they impregnate. Now, the Bnei Olam doesn't want to be caught in the situation of psak halacha. So they go. Some of it's absolutely awesome, they'll never do. So it's a subject of debate. If a rav takes achrayus for guiding them, then that's what they do.
For
anything. Whatever you're going to use. Jewish sperm, non-Jewish sperm, whatever you're going to use is is called a parsh meruba par, a stamp spur from a sperm bank. It's not efshel levara. It's not called nikar b'mekaymai. It's not called kavua. It's called parish and called a parish muba parish. This is the way it goes.
No.
What? See, mashma the goyish sperm doesn't make a mamzer, but he says chalila. Who's going to use goyish sperm? It's interesting. I don't know, only anecdotally, what satma chassidim do, but I know in one case that I'm aware of where satma chassidim let it be known that he got a job in London and he moved to London for a few years and he came back with a baby and it's a shas, they feel a shasat chak, and even though it's just very, very hard. What? They didn't name the baby after the rabbi, I don't think so. They called him Moshe. We're joking about it, but it's really very painful when a woman is healthy and she ovulates every month and she can do it, and her husband's sperm is not viable. It's very difficult.
You know, Chassidim from marrying to outside of Sadra, because maybe the child was a child of someone that they hold as a mother.
I mean, how does Sadra see them intermarry with everybody else? So I don't know. They don't ask me. I don't know, but okay. At any rate, this is the second controversy. Controversy number one is Rav Henker of Moshe. Controversy number two is the Samar Rebbe of Moshe. Although, like Rav Moshe says, what do you want from me? It's a Bach and a Taz. It sounds like the Bach and Taz and Beis Shmuel say it. Samar Rebbe says it's different there. They didn't deliberately put the Zera in the woman. Okay, it's his time. Third controversy is below the radar. I think that after Rav Moshe got so embroiled in the Samar Rebbe controversy, he led off on the third issue. It was very important to Rav Moshe that a pesach can be accepted in America. Rav Moshe saw who he was and what he was, and when he came to America, he grew payas behind his ears, which he hadn't had in Russia. And whether I never heard it from him, but the story was that he wanted his tshuvas to be accepted across the board. And he wanted that the chassidim should accept it. Everybody should accept it. And for the most part, they had respect for him. And the story is that three chassidim came to the Satmar Rebbe, and he said, about whichever controversy it was, they want to go to Rav Moshe and argue with him. So he said, you start talking learning, you talk politics, what are you going to do? And the Samar Rebbe was very machabed Rav Moshe, and this controversy became a breaking point between them. Now, the third issue is a much more potentially explosive issue. As you know, there's nothing a mamzer would like more than to be able to have normal children. A mamzer is allowed to marry a geiris, but the child continues a mamzeris. A geiris is not going to want to marry a mamzer because who wants to have children that are vaita have the same mamzeris issue? And we learned early in the simon that even though some psulim go by the father, some go by the mother, mamzeris is unique. That ha'ilach achar apogum, that it goes father or mother. Transfer the psul to the children. As a matter of fact, the language of the Shulchan Aruch back in, I believe, Sivav, it says chutz min hamamzer. It says what? The shifcha thing I'll get to Mitzvah Shem probably next week, but it said over there that all of these who have children, Yisrael Bachas Me'elu, have Vlad Kimaisa. Sifei, it says the Vlad always goes according to the mother, if they're Jews. Ve'echad Me'elu, Chutz Mimamzer, Shabbat Bas Yisrael, have Vlad Kosher Kol. If it's a good mother and a apostle father, generally it goes according to the Bas Yisrael, have Vlad Kosher, Chutz, except for Mamzer. So mamzer is a psul in both directions. So if either the father or the mother is a mamzer, it carries over. The question is the following. Now think for a minute before you go any further. Rav Moshe, in only one tshuva on it, there's no follow-up tshuva on it. It's a chelek gimel tshuva yud aleph, I believe. that his shaila is. I'm sorry, Chelik Beis Tshuva Yod Aleph. Gimel Yod Aleph is the IVF. Beis Yod Aleph is not only a tshuva about the following. It says, what happens if you have a mamzer marries a geiris? They're allowed to be married, but the child's a mamzer. If he, instead of impregnating his wife, derech bia, he gives the zera, and they do the zera through IVF or IUI, they do, the zera doesn't go in derech bia. Is that mitahir the children? Is that a way to be mitahir the children? The rule is, if it's not derech bia, you're not a mamzer. So at first glance, this is a fundamental mistake. Right? We say, if there is no mamzer, and a man zera goes into a woman, it doesn't create mamzeris without a bia. But if the man is already a mamzer, just like if he's already a kayin, his child's a kayin. If he's already a levi, his child's a levi. So if he's already a mamzer, pashit the child should be a mamzer. So Ramesha writes, he writes nearly davar chadash. He calls it a davar chadash. He says psul mamzeris is not a psul yichus. It's a psul in the maisa aveira, and vaharai it goes for father or mother. It goes down. It doesn't go with the rules of yichus. Yichus doesn't go from both sides. And he says, not a psul yichus. And in that tshuva, he seems to be machsha the child. The tshuva is about nisabra bambati, that the child does not become a mamzer. It's theoretically a potential avenue through which a mamzer could be mitahar children. Ramosha never picked up on it later, and neither did any of the other paiskim, maybe because Ramosha calls it a davar chadash. Well, maybe because the whole IVF became an issue and Ramesha didn't want to intermingle something where he has a poor argument with something where he has a strong argument. But it's like under wraps, there is a third kula of Ramesha. And all three is Mekel. He's Mekel under Rav Henkin account, where I think not Rav, but all the Paiskim agree with him. He's Mekel on the IVF count, where Rav Paiskim agree with him, but not all. And this davar chadash, we've never heard of anybody talking about doing it, but the tshuva is printed. It's a tshuva in which he writes such a.
The kula tshuva with the mams and the mamzeres too.
I think he says the mother's psul would go down through birth.
It's not yichus,
I believe the tshuva is there, and I think he says through birth it does pass on, and without a ma'aser it does from the father. So these are the three issues. Now the one remaining issue is Reb Tarfon Zaitza, which let me just introduce, and we'll talk about next week. As you know, Reb Tarfon Zaitza, at the end of Kiddushin, Reb Tarfon says, "If it came to me, I would have an Eitzah." It's funny, Lashon. He doesn't say I have an Eitzah. He says, "If they would come to me, I would have an Eitzah for a mamzer to be Matayr." And his Eitzah is to marry a Shifcha Kananis, to take a Shifcha Kananis and marry her, and a man who's Bayol, a Shifcha Kananis, the child is Mesiachis only after her, the child is a din of an Eved, and then when you free the Eved becomes a Yisrael Kosher. Haruri, it says in the Mishnah, Nasori Yusuf Shalom Abavel, one of them is called Haruri. Haruri is a Shichur. Lashon Shichur, that somebody, a freed Eved, has his kashur yichus into Klal Yisrael, and that's Reb Tarfon's Eitzah to do it. So when I was mentioned the other week, someone asked me if it was ever done. So I did find, not independently, but I looked around, and they do bring, there's one tshuva, and you'd think someone was Mekel, you know, it's got to be somebody very modern, or the tshuva is from Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, the Badatz, the Eidah Charedis. He has a tshuva. The tshuva begins to someone, Shiesh Le Talmid, he's writing to Rosh Hashiva as a Talmid, who's a Talmud Chacham Mamzer, who already came to him. He has a woman, a non-Jewish woman, that's willing to marry him and be Megayer. And whether they could go through this whole process of being Mitaris children, and he's masking. Unfortunately, it doesn't say the end of the story, in the tshuva, but in the tshuva, which is in the 9-5, chelik tes of Eved Yisrael, which is his tshuva svarim, tshuva tzadikei, he approves of it, he gives some guidelines for it, but he does approve of it. One of the fascinating pieces of the tshuva, they write to him, it's against Dina d'Malchusa, to make a shivcha. So he suggests going to a foreign embassy of a country that allows, I don't know which country is that doesn't have a law against slavery. As you go to the foreign embassy, the Dina d'Malchusa is on the grounds of the foreign embassy. It has the laws of the host of the guest country. So he says, buy her as a shivcha on the grounds of the foreign embassy. And then once she's a shivcha and you move to a different country, she remains a shivcha. So that's his loophole on how to go about the Dina Machusa. Yeah, Ramesh Tatu would also be a heter. I mean, this is what he does. He says, to avoid the issue, go to the foreign embassy and do it. I'd rather want to mention to you Agav, we'll talk about it, but I want to mention to you Agav that the foreign embassies in Manhattan, I have a ha'ara on all Erev HaChatzeris in cities that have foreign embassies. I don't know if Brooklyn has, certainly not Borough Park and Flatbush, there are no foreign embassies here. But in Manhattan, where they make an Erev HaChatzeris, the foreign embassies are not covered. They buy from the city the rights of the non-Jewish places. It doesn't follow the laws. I'm not sure why that doesn't ruin the fire department could get into the foreign embassies against their will. I don't know. Okay. If it's owned by a foreign entity, it's still subject to the laws of the country. It's only the embassies themselves that have this right. What's his name? He fled into the embassy. He fled into the embassy. He sat in the embassy for years, right? And okay, so next week we'll deal with Tarif and Bezos.